Blog Talk Radio.
Inspired by the Bible Experience.
Little Ladybug, and we are here for another fresh edition of Sunday School. Hold up, let me pull my mic a little bit closer so y'all can hear me. Honor and power to the ancestor energy present, Ashe. Much love and respect to each and every one of you that has decided to join us on tonight. Also, a big thanks to this month's sponsor, Mr. Shatik R. House Senior is the author of the highly anticipated sequel poetry book called Poised. Her Story Publishing House of New York had the awesome pleasure of working with him on the editing and formatting tip, because that's what I do. So thanks, Fly, for the opportunity. Once the book drops, we will definitely have you in the studio to share your wisdom. If you are listening online, please feel free to comment and hit that hot pink follow button up in the corner so you can be notified when we have a new show scheduled to air. Sunday School is by far my favorite show to do, and I'm excited to be here with you guys with a fresh message to decipher and decode. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Lord God's faithful servant, Job. Job is a go-to for righteousness and faithfulness in the Bible, especially during the strict and restrictive days of the Old Testament, whenever that was, because, as we all know, there are no dates in the Bible. Now, before we get all in Job's business, we have to take a little processional break. As I've stated, the processional is like the introductory selection by the choir in the order of service. So we're going to give our listeners and followers a chance to grab your Bibles and get settled. You know, I always want you to get your Bibles because I want you to fact check what's being said and read along with us so that you know that I'm not making these things up. We're always brought in by the Bible Experience theme, and we will be listening to a few minutes of scripture performed by that cast tonight. Our music breaks are going to be provided by what we call in church unquenchable worshipers. An unquenchable worshiper is someone that gets completely engulfed in the ritual experience. And gospel music and the experience that comes along with it is rooted in traditional spirituality. When I was an avid churchgoer, I considered myself to be an unquenchable worshiper, which is why it's so easy for me to get into ritual now, because I was already accustomed to letting spirit take over when it becomes present. Our processional is provided by one of my favorite choirs, Shekinah Glory. And this song is ironically called Unquenchable Worshiper. So go get your Bibles and get up in here, fam. It's time for Sunday School. We'll be right back.
Do I have any people that are in here that are insatiable for God's presence? That are hungry for God's presence? That are thirsty for God's presence? That you're willing to do whatever it takes? Okay, then I am willing to do whatever it takes. We got any unquenchable people in here? Minister Valencia Lacey.
Look at somebody and say, I am unquenchable. Hallelujah.
Play. They bring it in. Yes. Welcome and welcome back, family. That was Shekinah Glory with Unquenchable Worshipper, our processional. If you're interested in hearing that song in its entirety, you can find it on YouTube. Tonight we're talking about Job, an unquenchable worshipper of the Lord God who was thought to be blameless and righteous in the Lord God's eyes. Preachers and pastors like to use Job as an example of someone that all Christians should model themselves after. In this chapter, we are introduced to Job and learn how quickly his life is turned upside down because the Lord God allowed Satan to test Job's loyalty and righteousness to him. I'm going to wait until after the scripture reading and the decoding to tell you guys what I think is going on here. But after listening to this again so recently, I was freshly annoyed by the Lord God. And for now, that's all I can say. When I was growing up, I always thought that church was where you go to learn how to be a Christian and keep God pleased with you and how you live your life. Christians have always confused me, though, because I found myself not being able to live up to the Lord God's expectations, which were always evolving into something more restrictive and less fulfilling, at least in my life. I had enough real disappointment to face and deal with. I didn't need any imaginary disappointment from the Lord God. I will admit that the book of Job is one of my favorite books in all the Bible. I like it because it tells a story about a man that is experiencing in real life what happens when the Lord God and Satan decide to get petty with each other. The book of Job is another random story that is supposed to teach us about trusting the Lord God even when everything we think we have has been taken away from us. What I love about this book is the heavy recognition of Tiamat, Ashe. This is one of the few books in the Bible that is somewhat transparent about the power of the universe. Tiamat is mentioned in the first verse of the first book of the Bible in Genesis 1 and 1. Tiamat is known as the Spirit of God. In spirituality, Tiamat is the mother of melanin. She is the primordial chaos waters of melanin from which our bodies are comprised, along with her husband Kingu and 11 children, which contain all powers and principles of the universe, are what we are created from. Bobby Hemmett explains to us that whenever you hear the Bible mention Leviathan, quote unquote, they are speaking of Tiamat, the spirit of God. A Leviathan is a sea monster, a dragon goddess. Tiamat is the mother goddess of primordial darkness. Both the Lord God and Job makes mention of her in great detail. They both have much respect for her power and for what she represents. It also becomes clear in the 41st chapter when we hear directly from the Lord God what he feels about our ancestor. One of the most common questions when considering spirituality is, what did we worship before the Lord God? Job gives us an answer that not many of us are ready for. We worshiped nothing. We respected and revered the powers of the universe, and we were humbly grateful to be connected to that energy and able to manifest it into realities in our physical existence. We access energy. We worship nothing. The universe requires your attention, intention, and focus. She could care less for your worship. In this first chapter of Job, the angels of the Lord have come to present themselves to the Lord God, and it is noted that Satan was also among them. The Lord God and Satan have a petty exchange, and in the next verses, we are witness as Job's life proceeds to crumble down on top of his head. Of course, the Lord God is being read by Paul Atterferison, Satan is being read by Les Iliard, and there are four messengers total in this chapter: Kelvin Shepherd, Tim Edward Rose, Taj Mowry, and Life Jennings. This is the Bible Experience audio reading of Job chapter 1. We'll be right back after this.
The Book of Job. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking,
"Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts."
This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan,
"Where have you come from?"
Satan answered the Lord,
"From roaming through the earth, going back and forth in it."
Then the Lord said to Satan,
"Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil."
"Does Job fear God for nothing?"
Satan replied.
"Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face."
The Lord said to Satan,
"Very well then, everything he has, is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger.
Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said,
"The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you."
While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said,
"The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you."
While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said,
"The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you."
While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said,
"Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they're dead, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell."
At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said,
"Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised."
In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Okay. So in the very beginning of this chapter, we meet Job, and we learn that he is a very wealthy man with a large family and a strong devotion to the Lord God. The Bible said that he was the greatest man of his area, like a mayor or something. He would make offerings on behalf of his children when they went out partying and drinking, just in case they had done something to offend the Lord God. Okay, so then the Lord offers his most loyal, devoted, unquenchable worshiper as a candidate for Satan's destruction. Let's pause right here, because this passage says many things. First, it says that we have nothing without the Lord God. He obviously blessed Job with everything he had acquired and challenged Satan to take it all away and see if he would curse the Lord God. Ironically, Job cursed everything but the Lord. Satan even says that the Lord has protected Job and has made it easy to be unquenchable for the Lord. So the Lord agrees to take his hands off Job and let Satan do what he will with his life. First, the field was attacked, the servants were slaughtered, and the bandits made off with the oxen and the donkeys. Second, the fire fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. Third, the Chaldeans slaughtered the servants and made off with the camels. Finally, the kids were partying when a wind caused the house to fall in on them, everybody in attendance, including Job's 10 children, save one messenger in each situation that was able to escape with the horrible report. In a matter of a few minutes, Job has lost his livestock, which was his wealth, his servants, which were a representation of his wealth, and his 10 children that were heirs to his legacy. In the final verses, I find it very interesting that the narrator, Matt Gibson, chose the words of saying that Job did not sin by charging the Lord with wrongdoing. I didn't know that was a sin. How convenient is that? No wonder Satan left the angels' camp. You can't question or even accuse this Lord God of wrongdoing when in fact it is his hands that are guilty of it. Not only did the Lord take his protection from Job, he also offered and allowed Job's life to be ravished by Satan, even suggesting that he be tested with his horrific chain of events. I think that's messed up. And I'm not a sinner because I'm not a Christian, and I don't believe in the Lord God, his wishy-washy protection, or his petty beef with Satan, so I can say whatever I want. It's time for another music break. Guys, we are featuring one of my favorite mass choirs, Shekinah Glory. This one is called Yes. And I think it fits with what Job is facing after his unexpected experience with Satan by permission of his beloved Lord God. We will be right back, you guys. Stay tuned. This is Her Story Homeschool Radio. I am the Bug Bug. This is Sunday School, and we are talking about Job, the Lord God, and the ancestors. Stay with us.
If I told you what I really need from thee, would your heart and soul say? And tell the Lord, yes.
Yes.
See, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Say, I'll obey Jesus.
Yes.
I walk straight,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
But this time I'm made.
There is more than I.
Y'all better back her up now. That song used to take me right up out of here. It still gives me chills. The message is so clear. It's so spiritual. I love Shekinah Glory. Welcome and welcome back, Energy. We're talking about Job, the first chapter. We just listened to the scripture read by the talented Bible Experience team. We walked through what we heard, and now we are ready to talk about what we heard. This chapter moved really fast, and that's the way we are taught that Satan moves in our lives, really fast. But in reality, folks never recover from losing one child. Let me tell you that again. I said, folks never recover from losing one child. This man is said to have lost 10. Folks get depressed over losing one job. Job lost his entire empire in a matter of minutes. Job went from being something like the mayor to a man with nothing but his loyalty to the Lord God. In the following chapter, Satan returns to up the ante, with the Lord God saying that it is easy to remain faithful with things that can be replaced, and he challenges that if he were allowed to strike Job's physical strength, that he would surely curse the Lord then. So the Lord accepts the challenge, and Job becomes sick with leprosy. Now, that's a painful skin disease involving lesions and boils. Now, Job is really pissed off. He's really, really pissed. He curses his wife, his three friends that came to check on him, and his own birth, but not the Lord God. As promised, we are going to listen to what the Lord God has to say about my beloved Tiamat, Mother Goddess of the Primordial Darkness, Mother of Melanin, Spirit of the Living God, Yemaya, Yemonja, Olokun, Mami Wata. She goes by a different name in every language, because she is constant and cannot be denied, not even by the Lord God. This is chapter 41 of Job. We'll be right back after this.
Can you pull in the Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you for you to take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of it like a bird or put it on a leash for the young women in your house? Will traders barter for it? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on it, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing it is false. The mere sight of it is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength, and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth? Ringed about with fearsome teeth, its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. Its breath
sets coals ablaze and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. The folds of its flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. Its chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron it treats like straw, and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make it flee. Slingstones are like chaff to it. A club seems to it but a piece of straw. It laughs at the rattling of the lance. Its undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. It makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron, and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is its equal. A creature without fear, it looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud.
Okay. Ashe, that was great. What we listened to was the tail end of a stern talking to that Job is receiving from the Lord God. Apparently, the Lord was fed up listening to Job complaining about his miserable life that he was responsible for, so he cursed him out about everything he said for about four chapters of this book. So what we are listening to is the Lord God explaining to Job that he is not worthy to even speak the name of the Spirit of God. Of course, in the Bible, Leviathan is a male, but this is the Bible, so what do you expect? No other culture reveres her as such. She's always female. Verse 8 says, "Lay your hand on him, remember the battle, and never do it again." In Genesis, we learned about other gods in the universe, and we also learned about the only thing more powerful than the self-proclaimed Lord God, and that is my beloved Tiamat, the Spirit of God that moves upon the faces of the waters. The Lord is basically taking the long road to explaining to Job that there is nothing that could ever be created that could stand against even the sight of her. If you are a black woman, even a black man, I dare you to read through that chapter and replace every he with a she, and it will give you chills. Those chills is your melanin awakening to the truth about the power of who you really are. Not even the Lord God could stand before the mother of primordial darkness and live to tell the story. He says so himself. That was just like a bonus track for me. I couldn't pass by the opportunity to shine the light on my beloved Yemaya wherever I might find her. Ashe, Ayibobo. This next break is for you, Yeye. This is Shekinah Glory. I know y'all listen to a lot of those foo-foo, you know, popular / secular gospel music. This is deep, deep worship that I am introducing you to with Shekinah Glory. They don't play around. They get deep, deep, deep into the worship. And that's what is being talked about here, the deep relationship that is needed. And so, like I said, this one is for my yay. Shekinah Glory, a love melody. We're going to, well, I wanted to show you guys, or at least let you listen to how this story ends in Job 42, but it's not loaded into the studio. I'm always going to be honest with you guys. I'm sorry. It's still processing as an audio file in the studio right now, and it is not ready. But I will explain to you how this story ends when we come back. Stay with us, fam. This is Her Story Homeschool Radio, Sunday School Edition. We are talking about Job, the Lord God, and our ancestors. I am the Bug Bug. This is a song for my Yeye, Shekinah Glory, a love melody. I hope you enjoy, guys. We'll be right back. Wow. Well, the Spirit of God could never die. It is her immortality that she shared with us so that we could experience life most abundantly. And for that, I cannot be grateful enough. This is an energy connected to the waters, the oceans, the seas, the living waters. We cannot deny that the living waters calm us. They comfort us in ways that we can't explain or understand. Mother loves us unconditionally and never asks for anything in return but reverence and recognition. Our bodies are 70% water, 30% universe blend. I have said it before and I will say it as many times as the Spirit lays it upon my heart to say, we do not come from the second sands of the Lord God. We come from the primordial darkness of the Spirit of God. We were created to live an abundant life, to multiply and be fruitful on the earth and to subdue it. We were created first and for the greatest good of this planet and whatever its existence has to offer. It is not our fault, nor is it our doing, but it is our pleasure and opportunity to be black. I said, it is not our fault, nor is it our doing, but it is our pleasure and opportunity to be black. It is our birthright to have dominion on the earth and subdue it, because that's what we were created to do. In the words of my favorite female lyricist, Lil' Kim, if I was you, I'd hate me too. You want to know where racism comes from, where slavery, prejudice, Jim Crow, police brutality, the prison pipeline, employment plantation, legal abortion, population control, war on this and war on that comes from, it comes from you and your birthright on this planet. It comes from you being created as you were created and somebody else being a knockoff generic brand of another sort. We are the number one demographic of people that can spot a hater from a mile away. But we give all these other names like colonizer and oppressor to people that are just mad at you because they ain't you. If I was you, I'd hate me too. Not even the Lord God would stand against my mother. You can't tell me I'm not on the winning team. Let's talk about what happens after Job loses everything. You know, he stays loyal to the Lord. He gets cursed out and he really wants to die at this point. And if you've ever lived life on life terms, then you can relate to just wanting to die sometimes. Not necessarily wanting to kill yourself, but being so tired of fighting and barely surviving that you wouldn't even be mad if your Lord God just took you up out of here. That's where Job was. And then in the 42nd chapter of Job, things turn around for him. And they get better. And so, like I said, we don't have the audio for Job 42, which is something that I really wanted to share with you guys. But you're more than welcome to read it in your Bibles. You already know that any scripture that I bring to you is directly from the Bible. And so you can go ahead and read it for yourself. I do apologize that that audio is not available. But we are going to take another break really quickly and listen to Kirk Franklin. No, not Kirk Franklin. It's Kirk Carr. I love Kirk Franklin. I didn't load any Kirk Franklin music into the studio this Sunday. Oh, yes, I did. Okay, but I'm not going to play that. This is Kirk Carr and his singers, and we're going to listen to a little clip of this, and then we're going to be back, and we're going to find out how this whole Job story ends, because it's really strange how things play out for Job. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere. We're going to close this up in just a few minutes. This is Her Story Homeschool Radio, a Sunday school edition of the story of Job and Tiamat, our beloved mother of the primordial darkness. And we are going to listen to Kirk Carr for a little bit, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Oh,
going to keep going. She's not going to stop. She's not going to stop. I'm just going to let her live her life in the background for a little while. This is Her Story Homeschool Radio. I am the Bug Bug. We are in a Sunday school session. Let me cut her off because she's going to go. We're in a Sunday school session and we're talking about Job. And we're talking about Tiamat. And we're talking about the Lord God. And it's been very interesting. And so now we've reached the ending. And after everything that Job went through and everything that he lost, the 42nd chapter of Job shows us how the Lord God restored everything that was in his life. So that was good. I mean, this story is often used in church to encourage those that are going through. Just look at what the Lord did for Job. If you notice, the Bible never blames Satan for anything that happened to Job. In the last chapter, it is confirmed that it is actually the Lord that had caused all these things to happen to Job. But all is forgiven because his wealth was doubled. He had more children. His friends and his family accepted him back into the fold even more warmly than they had in the past. So, you know, that was good. This is insane. I mean, of course, anybody would be grateful to have their wealth doubled and their health restored. But I have a problem when it comes to these children. There is no replacement for a child, let alone 10. Killed in such a tragic and random, natural, Lord God enticed event. Just forget about that. Have more children and live happily ever after. These daughters are the most beautiful in the land, and apparently that makes up for the not so fair ones you have may have had in the first place. I just think this last chapter of Job reads like a sorry-ass man that beat his wife to bits and pieces and comes back with gifts trying to make up for it. There is no real atonement for the things that Job experienced, but the Lord attempts to make do by restoring his protection over Job, never taking into account the pain, trauma, and loss he caused. You killed my children, yo. To prove a point to Satan? You're not even supposed to be talking to Satan. And you up here offering my good life up for grabs to be petty? But in the end, here you come with 14,000 this and 6,000 that and more children, 140-year lifespan, and all is forgiven. Let's praise the Lord. No, I don't think so. Any regular person in Job's situation would have put a bullet in their heads long before 42 chapters could have been written, no matter how righteous the Lord claims them to be. You've taken all my money, all my power, all my influence, all my children. You take away my health and my well-being until I'm a shade away from death. And then it's just like Ashton Kutcher just pops out and told Job that he was getting punked, and life began again for him. There was no restoration of the things he'd lost. He still lost those things. And if anything, that's what needs to be preached in church about Job. Sometimes there is no restoration for things that we lose in this life. I know there will never be any restoration for the parents I've lost. Nothing can be done to replace that, save bringing them back from the dead, and that's not something this physical plane is capable of in the way that I would give credit to the Lord God for doing. Sometimes you lose things like children and coworkers and friends. In this case, they were called servants, but coworkers and friends are modern terms that we use. There is no replacement for lives lost. Have we really given our lives over to a so-called God that does not understand that? Spirituality does not minimize the existence of those that came before us. That is the foundation of spirituality, acknowledging and revering the very existence of energy that has created reality for you, before you. Christianity tells us to put our dead in the ground, stick their obituaries in our Bibles and move on with our lives. Spirituality is pissed with you because you do that. How dare you? Who do you think you are? To give credit for your existence to something or someone that you have to read a book about in order to understand and learn how to worship. Your ancestors are not and never have asked for our worship. They are grateful to be on the other side of the veil that creates realities that we call manifestations through rituals and spell casting. Accessing energies and their powers are what we have always been blessed to do. And the oppressor called it magic and deemed it unlawful to practice because it gives you an advantage like the spirit of God that they can't come against. They can't even stand to see the sight of you. They can't even stand upright and proud in your presence. And if they ever lay a hand upon you, they will remember the battle and never do it again because you are created 70% primordial waters and 30% universe blend. You are pure carbon energy, and energy can never be created, recreated, or destroyed, only transferred from one place to another. So you have always been here in some form or another, no matter what they say, and you will always be here no matter what they do. Ashe. This Lord God's doctrine is rooted in fear. Fear is something that spirituality cannot and will not cohabitate with. In life, we experience loss. No matter the so-called restoration, we have still experienced that loss. If we were given reparations for slavery, would that mean that we would forget slavery? Absolutely not. Even though we would be expected to because of this Bible and Lord God mentality that we've been given. If you have been able to come out on top like Job, I'm not telling you not to be grateful. But like I said, most of us would have ended it a long time ago. And I'm not saying give up. I never say that. I always say go again. I always say butterfly time is right now, right now, right now. I would never give up just because of what awaits me on the other side. If I step on the other side of fear, I know that there is nothing but peace, joy, and abundance on the other side of fear. You just better go again. You just better. People always ask me, Tish, if you don't have a religion, like, what do? Who do you pray to, give thanks to, or worship, for lack of a better term? I worship nothing. Nothing. I worship nothing. I give thanks to every energy present and past that creates this reality with me. I pray to my parents because they are my God. They created me and brought me to this existence, and I did well in choosing them. I pray for guidance, assistance, comfort, and wisdom, and they answer every single time I say. I don't make a move without consulting the ancestors, without meditating, without connecting, without getting plugged in for the day. I'm 4'10 and a half. I weigh 106 pounds, but I walk on this earth like a million years worth of ancestors got my back because they do. Because they do. This is our last break, y'all. From Shekinah Glory. And this is my all-time favorite song by them. I'm so grateful that you guys let me share my love for gospel music with you because it has really been influential in my life even until now. Like, I switched the words around in some of these songs, and I'm taken to another place in time. It's an amazing experience that I wish for each and every one of you. This one is called How Deeply I Need You. We will be back to close up after a short clip of this. Sam, stay with us. Thank you. That is How Deeply I Need You by Shekinah Glory, y'all. If you want to listen to that in its entirety, the song is about 11 minutes long, and they will have you in tears. We just going to close out, y'all, because I'm not going to be in here crying, and I'm going to get in trouble by my twin. So, when I start changing those words around, I get what we call in church the Holy Ghost. And one thing I'm not going to do is hit y'all with no flim-flam gospel music. So you can always count on some real deep worship music from me. Thanks for joining us, you guys. Thanks so much for being here with me and listening to me and giving our ancestors a chance. And I just appreciate, you know, all the support and continued support that we continue to get. Shout out again to our sponsor for April, Mr. Shatik Arhouse Senior, the author of upcoming anticipating sequel poetry book, Poised. We will have Mr. House Senior in the studio so he can explain to you exactly what Poised means, and he can share some of his wisdom and his story and hopefully some of his dope artistry with us as well. I will be back on Tuesday with you guys. And we'll share some uncomfortable conversation on Tuesday because that's what we do on Tuesday. So come and join in the uncomfortable conversation on Tuesday. Other than that, peace, love, and light to you guys. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. I appreciate every single one of you. And we're going to go out here with some Kirk Franklin because I found it in the studio. So peace, love, and light energy. Until next time, so more to be blessed. Ashe.
Amen. There's another. It says, let me touch you and see if you are real. If I can just touch the hem of your garment, I know I can be made whole. We just want to have a little worship over here before we go on with the program. Come on, family. Sing it with me. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.